Praise the Lord. It's my great pleasure to be here. I want to say thank you to the Saturday PM team for asking me to do this Acts chapter 20. I think today and coming Saturday, I'll just let you know some of the things that God has laid in my heart as I've been reading this chapter and generally the book of Acts. I've not reached here yet for this year. I'm still in the book of 2 Kings, trying to read the Bible again throughout the year. I don't know for how many times, but it's good to read the Word of God again and again and again. I was listening to someone who says they have read the Bible now, he said 200 and something times. So we are trusting that we can reach there. So that means some people read the Bible through by twice per year. I don't know how you read your Bible, but I pray that all of us will love the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad again to be here. My excitement is because I can see there is potential for growth. These empty seats means there is potential what? For growth. And so for my time here in Valley Road, I don't know for how many years. I was here for 1.5 years, part of 2006. Then I was taken away 2008, early 2008, to Gong. Gong, I was there for almost 2 years. The head of 2009, I was taken away again. Then I was in head office for 5 years, rested 2015. I was sent on sabbatical leave. Came back 2016. I was taken to the Ika town to plant a church. And before 3 years were completely over, I was told to come back here. Now, whatever I need to do, I must do it quickly. Because I don't know for how long I will be here. So for an opportunity to be here, I'm grateful to God. And one of the things I want to do while I'm here, I will be explaining these things in the church tomorrow. One of them is to fill these chairs. By the way, I'm not mad, I'm serious. By the time I leave, there will be no empty chair here. A few people said amen, but we can so say oh amen, oh say amen. Amen. Yeah. Because in Nairobi there are so many people who don't go to church on Sundays. So why can't they come on Saturday? Only because you have not told them. You come alone. This is not a secret club. This is the church of Jesus Christ. I was telling people, men, we love good food. Ladies, please hear that. Men love. For those who are married, you understand what I'm talking about. And those who are not married, when you get married, one of the things you'll have to do, you don't have to ask what at least the pastor told you, one of the things you'll need to specialize in is cooking good food for your husband. Not the other way around. I know some of you are changing this. No, we don't advocate for that. Even if you are a chef, when you reach home, mama napi. Men, we love good food. True or false? Men, true? So when a man discovers, or when we discover a good restaurant, we tell others. We want to take them there, isn't it? The same way, when you come here and you get good food, why are you keeping quiet? Let's bring people in to eat that food. Because the time to eat that food, as our sisters told us, at least learning from Bob, the late Bob, now not Bob, the late. Life is very short. What you do with it is very critical. Today is the 6th, this is 6th of July. Let me tell you, 6th July 2019 will never, never come back to us again. How we used it? Final. So we are doing finals. So for the time I will be in Valley Road, I don't know for how long that God will allow me to be here. We want to make sure that many people come to this church. many people get born again. Many people must be registered into the book of life. That is one of the things we want to do while we are here, by the grace of God. And this is one of the things that excites me, is because there is room for growth in this place. And we'll be telling you, and we'll be praying and trusting God that He's going to help us do that. Let's read Acts chapter 20. We're supposed to do it today and on next Saturday. So, but we'll read, let's read the whole of it, and then we'll see what we are able to cover today and leave the rest for next Saturday. Acts chapter 20. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled on through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally he arrived in Greece, where he stayed three months. Because the Jews made a plot against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pygas from Berea, Aristarchus and Sesudas from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, and Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the feast of the unleavened bread, and five days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third floor, and he was picked up dead. Young people, you have to be careful. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and he put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He is alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and our faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of Jesus, of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the ones of the Lord Jesus himself, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see him, his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Praise the Lord. Good reading of God's word, isn't it? Now, this is not preaching. It's just looking at what Paul or what Luke is writing in this particular chapter. I'm sure you have done chapter 1 to chapter 19, isn't it? And as you are concluding chapter 19, you know Paul was in trouble. And we begin this chapter where Luke records the events that mark the conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey. I'm sure you have gone through the first missionary journey beginning at chapter 13, isn't it? The second missionary journey. Now he is concluding the third missionary journey. And if you will, his last journey in the region of Asia Minor. And the Bible tells us that he has labored for the Lord in this region. For how many years? For at least 3 years. And I can tell you, Paul did a great job in this region. And the effect of his great work are seen especially when he went to the and hired the whore of Tyrannus. And the Bible tells us for 2 years in that hall, he reasoned with all the people that were there. For how many years? 2 years. When you read chapter 19, you realize that his ministry was so effective that the power of God was evident. So evident that the Bible tells us people even took handkerchiefs, carried them home, placed them on the sick, and the sick would be healed. What a great ministry. But now we are told he is on his way to Jerusalem. That's where his mission is. And his mission in Jerusalem is also very clear. What is he going to do in Jerusalem? He is in a hurry to reach Jerusalem because he is carrying some gifts for the Jewish believers who are in Jerusalem. The headquarters to the Jewish mission, gifts that he has collected from the believers in the region of Macedonia and Achaia. And he says after delivering these gifts that he has collected from various churches that he has given birth to, then he says he will pass through Rome as he goes for a mission in Spain. What a man. Very focused on what he wants to do in life. Very focused on his mission here in the world. And so chapter 20, you can divide it into several sections. The first one, verse 1 to verse 6, we see his ministry in the region of Macedonia. And then verse 7 to verse 12, we see Paul's ministry in Troas. And then from verse 13 all the way to verse 35, we see Paul's farewell message to the Ephesian elders, just explaining to the believers in Ephesus how you will not step there again at what you have done. And then, of course, verse 36 to verse 38, we can see something looks like a conclusion of his ministry. So in verse 1 to verse 6, one of the things that we notice there when you read the word of God is Paul's main concern and focus. Paul's main concern and focus. Paul had just faced a very hostile rioting crowd in Ephesus, isn't it? That's how he concludes that he is actually rescued narrowly by the magistrates, who declare that, you know, Paul has not done something as serious as the crowd was thinking. Then after he has escaped, he then calls together the disciples and encourages them. And then he leaves for Macedonia. Now try to imagine that scenario. Paul has just escaped after being beaten and some riots in Ephesus. Then what does he do? He still gets the believers from, you know, the rioting crowd, and he calls them to come. And the Bible tells us that before he leaves for Macedonia, he takes time to encourage the believers. What a man. And here we learn Paul's main concern was the welfare of the believers. That even in great stress or persecution, he still meets the believers and encourages them to continue in the faith. Hallelujah. And this is the same message we see Paul carrying to the believers in the region of Macedonia. He continues with the same message of encouragement to the believers in Macedonia, where he traveled in several places, the Bible records, encouraging the believers to stand firm in the faith. And friends, I'd want us to note here, let our concern as believers, as leaders, and our focus in the ministry be to encourage the believers at all times, and even more in times of difficulties. This is one of my focus in ministry as a pastor. And I have told people, I used to tell people in Thika Town, because we built the church from the scratch, I mean it was me and Lois and then others came, that we are not going to build a church of Musene. No, a church where people talk about so and so instead of going to one another, instead of going to talk to them directly. We want to live a life that encourages the believers. And I'm saying the same here. There is no one who has a gift of discouraging the believers. When you open your mouth about a believer, what are you telling them? Are you encouraging them to continue in the faith, or you are drawing them back? Don't partner with the devil. Partner with God in encouraging the believers to stand firm in the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second thing we note in this section, it is not very explicit, but when you read other letters of Paul, then you realize from scholars, they say that it's during this time that Paul writes to the believers in Rome. Now that he is planning to go to Rome, When he stayed in Greece for 3 months, one of the things that he did in Greece for those 3 months is that he wrote the book of Romans. It is believed that during these 3 months, Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, and you can see that more clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 15, from verse 23 to chapter 16, verse 2. Paul is planning a mission to Spain. But because there are already believers in Rome, and he does not want to preach where the gospel has already been preached, he says he will just pass through the place called Rome, the headquarters. You read that also in Romans chapter 1. So Paul writes a great book. And when you read the book of Romans, we normally say you read the book of Romans with the book of Galatians together, because the theme is the same, only that is written to different groups of people. And the main focus of these two books, Paul explains what is salvation, what he calls the righteousness of God. We may not go into those details, but it's good to note that Paul has time to write to the believers in preparation for his ministry in Spain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul loved the believers. Paul loved those who had received Jesus as their personal Savior. Though he is not the one who had preached to them, he still feels compelled to write to them to encourage them about their relationship with God. But he is also an intelligent man. He says he is writing to them so that as he passes going to Rome, he has somewhere, or he has some people who know him where he can get some help. He's an intelligent guy, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Ministry inafanyanga na kichwa also. You don't just walk of God. It's good to walk by faith, but you don't want to walk blindly. Even the faculties that God has given us, he uses them as part of his, accomplishing his purpose. The third thing that we see in this particular section of Acts chapter 20 is that Paul was careful about his safety. Did you read that? He could not go through Syria. That's what we read. Because of the plot of the Jews who most likely wanted to do away with his life. Actually, when you read what the theologians have written, is there was a very good plan for these guys to get Paul into the ship or into the boat and then throw him into the ocean. But God made it very clear to Paul, I believe through the Spirit, so that he had to take care of his safety. He therefore went back through Macedonia. And we learn that Paul, therefore, was careful about his safety. Why? Because those Jews in Syria were prepared to harm him. We have to be careful about our safety, isn't it? Because we want to live longer to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Then fourthly, we also see that Paul cared, or he was concerned with both physical and spiritual needs of the believers. What we read here is that Paul has 7 companions or representatives of the various churches. You wonder why Paul is gathering all these believers who are accompanying him. These, we learn, were representatives from the churches who had collections or funds for the Jerusalem church. Amen. And you can read about all of them. So Peter and all these others from their various regions. And this underlines one truth, that Paul was concerned with the needs of the needed believers in Judea who were going through a terrible famine. This underlines the heart of the apostle, that he cared not only for the spiritual aspect of the believers, but also the social needs of the believers. He cared for the suffering believers or brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. You know, the church in Africa, especially the Pentecostal church, has been accused by theologians, as being so heavenly minded and being of no earthly good. I normally tell people, even pastors, eat little food. It is true, and they wear clothes. And there is no supermarket that is specifically for who? For pastors. And that's why when I finished college many, many years ago, and I told friends that I want to go to Bible school and become a pastor, one person was worried for me. You know, people get concerned for you. And he said, "Hope, Mugabe has chosen a poor life." You know what, friends? We need to care not only for the spiritual aspect of the believers, but also for the physical aspect of the believers. We need to think of how we can give food to those who don't have food. We cannot pretend, we cannot close one eye to the needs of the believers. And therefore we are saying, just like Paul, we need to care for those of our brethren who are suffering. Last but not least, in this section, verse 1 to verse 6, we see that Paul was a good mobilizer of resources. He had some good skills of mobilizing resources. Can you imagine 7 representatives of various churches bringing gifts to him? Must have been a good mobilizer, isn't it? A good gift. And therefore, friends, as much as we pray for people to be on our way or to be on our side, we also must use some skills to ensure that our goals are accomplished. That's what I'm trying to do here. So that when I came, the first thing I did when I came is I went around this compound and I saw that some things are not in their place. So what I did is I got the advisory committee and told them, come, let us see how the Sitam Valley Road looks like. So we went from room to room, from place to place, and I told them, can you see where we are at? Now, as I explained to them what we need to do, one by one, God helping us, they are all together, we are all together. You use some skills as the Lord gives you wisdom. Amen? Usisukume mambo tuna roho. You use your what? Because it's also given by God. That's what we see Paul doing. Because he has interest to ensure that the believers in Jerusalem are taken care of. The thing we also see here, I don't know if this is important for us to see, is in verse 5, Luke, who is the writer of this letter, joins the team. Because now the language says, it changes and says we. Did you see that? Several times in this chapter, he will be saying we. You know, me, he includes himself, therefore, among the believers traveling with Paul because he was left with Timothy, I think, in Berea or those areas. It is said that Luke had been left at Philippi, as we see in chapter 16 of this book. Then he joined them here to travel with them to Jerusalem. That is verse 1 to verse 6. Great lessons that we learn from Paul's ministry. And then Paul's ministry, therefore, in Troas, chapter 7, verse 7 to verse 12. Now, Paul, Luke, and the other believers traveling to Jerusalem with him stayed at Troas for how many days? 7 days. 7 days is recorded. And as you know, Troas was a very important city for Paul. Why was it very important for Paul? You know why? Saturday p.m., do people talk? Why do you think Troas was very important for Paul? Who can tell us? You know, there are areas in your life you can never afford to forget. Brethren, are we together? There are some areas where you cannot afford to forget in your life. I don't know if you have those kind of spots in your life. I pray that it will be this Saturday p.m. for some of us, and the Valley Road for some of us also. As for me, I prayed, God, I don't want to leave this place the same. I must have something that I can remember about Valley Road in my life. When I was here, 206, 207, 208, God did a miracle for us. I can never forget when I went to Gong, where we were there, God did some miracle for us. I can never forget. In end of phase, they are uncountable. In Thika town, no one, I didn't even want to come here. True. Because we saw God and saw God and saw God. Amen. So there are places for you never to forget. And my prayer is that God will connect me with people here. And that God will do some very unique things in my life where I'm here. So Paul cannot forget Troas, because when he was in a during a second missionary journey, he wanted to go and preach in Asia Minor. But at Troas, he had a dream. You remember the man of Macedonia? He had a dream at night that there was a man from Macedonia who was calling him. You remember? And realizing that the interpretation of the dream, that God did not want them to go where they wanted to go, that God wanted them to go to Philippi, he woke his brethren early in the morning and told them, let's go. The Holy Spirit has kept us from here. Now he is telling us to go this way. And when they land in Philippi, what a fruitful ministry. You know, when God prepares the season or the ground for you, you struggle less. So there's no way Paul would have forgotten what? Troas. Now what happens in Troas again when Paul comes back here as he goes on his way back to Jerusalem? Troas, as we have said, was an important city for Paul because it is from here that he had a vision about the Macedonian region during his second missionary journey. We read that in Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to verse 10. So you better have somewhere where you write or where you have already written the things that God has done for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Don't just move. Don't just stay in places of work and just run through motions of life. You are a child of God. Walk with God. Let God speak to you. Amen. One of the things we see during his ministry in this place of Troas, we see Paul's passion and commitment to the gospel. His passion and commitment to the gospel is very clear. He was leaving the following day. And because he was leaving the following day, Paul spoke through the night. This is called Kesha. I don't know how many people have attended Kesha this year. Hands up. This year. Yeah, even me, I was there last night. I'm still a bit sleepy. Let me tell you, friends, there is something about getting hold of God. Not hit and run. You know hit and run? That's why most of us live a normal life. You know, just average life. It's because we don't put some extra effort and dig a little bit deeper. Discussing with pastors last night about Kesha, just before we went, and I was joking with them that I may want to cancel the Kesha here. Told me, Pastor, no, you can't do that. This is what I was telling them. Since the church here is secure, assuming that Keshas were banned, and the church is available for people to come and pray through the night, why can't we have individuals come to cry to God through the night? Think of that. Thika town, we were in a tent, remote from the city. And I remember twice a brother who told me, Pastor, are the watchmen there? Yes. Is there light? Yes. I want to go for prayer. Young Akesha alone. I used to do that. I remember I did that once when I was in high school. Things were a bit rough. And I really wanted God to shape my life. And let me tell you, I had a lone Kesha. Where you cry to God, you have your own agenda, you have your own prayer items, you have your own focus in life. In this particular context, we see, in this text, we see Paul's passion and commitment to the gospel. Ukiona vyalea? Meudo. Friends, you cannot continue praying. You know the prayers after food. And then 5 minutes before you sleep, you can't remember what you prayed for. And you still expect your life to be above others? Not at all. Not at all. And we are told that on Sunday, the first day of the week, Paul had a meeting in the evening where, of course, he had planned to have dinner and also have Holy Communion. Those days when people gathered to eat dinner, they also took what? The Holy Communion. And since he was leaving the next day, on Monday morning, we are told that Paul spoke continuously until midnight. And tells us that Paul seems to have had a message that he needed to preach before leaving them the following day. Why? He knew that he is not coming back that way again. So he had to pour himself out as much as possible. And he kept speaking. He had told the meeting was in the third floor, you know, upper room. It's almost like here. Then we are told, of course, those days there was no electricity. So there were many lamps that were provided that were giving light. And if from little chemistry then, this seems to have consumed a lot of oxygen so that a young man known as Eutychus, who was seated on a dangerous place at the window, got into deep sleep. And as it would be, he fell. And we are told that he died. That's why I was saying, young people, we need to be careful, isn't it? We risk a lot. Let me tell you, the things that we did when we were young, I don't know if the world is still the same. I have two boys, young men. They are now old people, really. One of them is already done with college and working. The other one turned 22 the day before yesterday. And let me tell you, as I talk to them, oh, don't come late. Oh, don't. Those guys risk a lot. Keep telling them, this is Nairobi, my friend. It's like those old man doesn't know what he is saying. It is true. So the other day he went to college and came so late. And I'm telling him, my son, what is the problem? Have you not heard what dad has said? But of course now, instead of being so harsh, I remember my time. What we did with my brothers. Young people, we have to be careful, you know. We have to be careful. We have a lot of energy. We have a lot of life to risk. But we have to be what? Careful. So this young man was seated in a very bad place. Now I was asking, why should you go to sit at the window? Surely. Maybe the house was full, but why at the edge of the window? Can't you see you can fall? The Bible is interesting. Anyway, we are told that the fella fell. The fella fell. The fella fell. Unfortunately, he died. You know, the Bible records these things so easily. You know? Then we are told, Paul performed a miracle. Prayed for him. And the guy came back to life. Then this is interesting. Then the Bible tells us Paul continued with the meeting. He had Holy Communion. And now he continued to preach. I think he got another sermon until morning. Until morning. I think he was motivated to preach. All I can tell you is, God takes care of young people. I think for babies and young people, one of the things I can tell parents who are here is you don't want to go to visit your children in school incognito. Because the running they do, the kind of risk, you know, where they jump, how they run, oh, you wonder. But, you know, it's like children, there are some angels who protect children and they protect the young people. Praise the Lord. So do whatever you are doing, but do it with understanding. But at the end of the day, God is in control of your life. That's why we are alive today, isn't it? It's because of the grace of God. But let's hear what our parents are telling us. So Paul performs a miracle. And what we learn here is that miracles are part of Paul's ministry. You know, we see many miracles in the life of Paul. Many. Just before that, we see Paul not only being rescued from the rioting crowds, we see him with Silas in prison, and suddenly the prison doors open. Miraculous man. And we also see earlier on, as I mentioned, that many miracles were happened in Ephesus, even through clothing. And just like during the ministry of Paul, miracles also happened in the life of Jesus and many other people, ministers of the gospel. But what we note here is that miracles happened as part of normal ministry life. There were no services specifically for miracles. Have you seen them anywhere? No. Come and you know the kind of crusades we have these days. But what we learn from scripture is that miracles were part of life. People walking with God. And therefore, I want to let us know that miracles should be part of our normal day-to-day life in the ministry. And we learn here that miracles, as we can see, miracles happen even at night during prayer meetings. Let us trust God for miracles at any time, in any place. That is the real life of a believer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your life should be a life of closely walking with God so that you can be able to witness the power of God, because challenges and difficulties will come. But God is willing and is able to rescue us and to perform miracles in our lives. I know there are many people who do not believe that miracles are for today, but those are lost. True. When I was in Bible college many years ago, I wrote a thesis, and the title of my thesis was Miracles, Are They for Today? And so I did proper research, and the thesis was marked, and two professors passed it. And the conclusion was very clear, that miracles are for today. They never ceased with the apostles. So if you are not experiencing God's interventions, divine interventions in your life, maybe something is not right. We must expect, we must trust God for his intervention when things happen in our lives. Praise the Lord. Have you seen miracles in your life? I have seen many. I'll never forget one spectacular one. It's when my son was about, said, almost 5 years old, between 4 and 5 there, our firstborn son. And one day the mother, who is a nurse, discovered that something was not right. So, of course, we took him to hospital. And then the doctor said there was a growth that needed to be operated. The boy needed to be operated. So we took him to Kenyatta. We did not have money to take him to Nairobi Hospital. We were not as rich as we are now. (Laughter) Most of the people, when they are at that age of giving birth, they don't have money. True or false? True. So young people, don't refuse to get married because you have no money. Money comes when you are older than like us. But when you are young, money is scarce. It's the truth. It's the truth. Build your life together. God will take care of you. Amen. So we took him to Kenyatta Hospital. He was admitted. He was supposed to go through operation. Of course, the mother was spent the night there. And then I woke up very early in the morning to go and check out on them. Of course, I was almost confused, you know, what to expect. Then when I went, I can never forget how I met them. Because the boy was asleep, completely asleep. So first is, how is he asleep, having gone through an operation? And then the mother woke up, and you can see the smile is not for someone who has gone through, whose son has gone through operation. And anyway, to cut the long story short, is that she told me that the doctors decided to do another X-ray just before they operate. They were ready to operate, but they just before we operate, let's do another what? And they said that the growth had disappeared. Up to today, that guy was not operated. Now the guy has finished university, lives on his own. What a great blessing. We've seen miracles upon miracles in our lives. Hallelujah. Miracles are for today. You know, the other day, my wife was telling me I need to write a book. I know there's a lot of work here in Valley Road. But I hope that one of these days I can document what God has done for me so that others can read. That's my prayer for all of us. Amen. Miracles are supposed to be part of our walk with God. That is what Paul is teaching us in this section. So verse 7 to verse 12, that's what we see. Now the third part is Paul's farewell to the elders of Ephesus, verse 13 to verse 35. And what we learn here is that Paul is a great planner, as we said. When you read from verse 13, it says, okay, this includes, now Luke includes himself, he says, we went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we sent sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Now, what we learn here, friends, before Paul goes to speak to the elders, sends for them, is that Paul surprises me because he is a great planner. He plans thoroughly for his work. Though through many commitments, Paul plans to reach Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost. So everything has to fit within his program. And we are told that after staying in Troas a bit, as he was doing ministry there, others went ahead of him so that they would connect at a specific place, as we read in verse 13, a place called Assos. And then they passed through many stations. They passed through, you know, through Assos to Mytilene, to Chios, off Chios, to Samos. Then I arrived in this place called Miletus. And most likely they were passing through a ship and they were dropping people. And we see Paul is in a hurry to reach Jerusalem before Pentecost. And for this reason, he could not go through Ephesus. Great planning. Also, most likely the believers there would have delayed him. And obviously, there was still the threats of the Jews given the previous riots at Ephesus. So Paul is in a hurry, and he reaches a place called Miletus, where he sends for the elders of the churches in Ephesus. Again, he is not able to go to the Ephesus, so as because of those reasons. So he calls the elders. And when he calls them, Paul preaches what we call emotional sermon. I wish you can feel Paul. As we do go through Acts of Apostles, one of the main focuses of the Acts of Apostles from chapter 9 of Acts of Apostles is really about Paul up to, about from chapter 9, Paul is introduced to us, and really it is about Paul throughout. And you know, one of the focuses of this book, of the writer of the book, who is Dr. Luke, is to reveal to us who Paul is, so that we learn from him. And so Paul writes, or he preaches a great sermon to the believers, or to the elders at Ephesus. And this is what he does. The Bible tells us from verse 17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, now, you know, having preached in this area for several years, these elders, I believe, are from the churches that he had planted himself and others with the help of the believers. He says, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. He says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was really tested by the plot of the Jews. Tells the elders, you know, that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the sermon that Paul preaches to them, to the elders, you can break it into three parts. Number one is Paul reviews his ministry in Ephesus for the last 3 years. He does a proper review. He tells the Ephesians elders, this is what my ministry was like when I was with you. Then after that, he does a good description of the present situation. He tells them, this is what I'm experiencing now. I'm about to leave for Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen there, but the Holy Spirit is compelling me to go. And after he explains that, then he tells them about his future responsibility. He talks about the future responsibilities of the elders in Ephesus. Those are the three parts of this sermon. He tells them of what he has done. He tells them of what he is sensing now in the spirit and where he is going. But he tells them, after I leave, this is how I would want you to take care of the believers. And after that, the Bible tells us, they knelt down together and they prayed and they released one another, never to see one another again. Isn't this life short? Now you can see why I'm saying I need to do something quickly in Valley Road. Let me tell you, where you are working, you are not there permanently. Thank God for Bob. He was in Safaricom for how many years? I think it was 10 years? That was a lot. By the way, that his contract had expired. So it was renewed through Otherwise, he was not supposed to be there for that long. His time was already up. I can assure you, friends, you are not going to be in your 20s forever. Is coming to an end quickly. Whatever you need to do, do it quickly in your 20s. In your teens, because 20s are coming. And those who are in their 20s, I can tell you, it is not going to take long. You may not agree with your parents, those who are still with your parents, fighting all the time. You are not going to be at your parents for so long. Those who are single, you're not going to be single for long. The company where you are working, you may not like it, but I can tell you, God has placed you there. You're not going to be there for long. You might be a student. I don't know how many are student here. You're not going to be a student for long. Soon, the insurance from your parents will be withdrawn because you're a grown up. And those who are getting children, those who are young and they're now getting children, and you know you're saying, do I get two, do I get three? Please make up your mind properly. I'm serious. Because the period is limited. It is limited. You know, those who have young children, they may be a bother. I can tell you from experience. Please enjoy them where you can tell them, let's go to the car, then go, you know. Enjoy them. Paul is telling them, believers, I am not going to see you again. My eyes are, and for sure, Paul is not coming back. As for me, God has been gracious to me. Maybe my assignment was not over, so I am back to Valley Road. I don't know for how long. I really loved Thika Town. Not only the church, but even living there, the place is just good. It is warm. It's not congested. You can plan your life. But it's not forever. You are not that company forever. Please do your best. Call on the name of the Lord. You can't afford to sleep for 9 hours. You need to wake up and call on the name of the Lord early in the morning, like Jesus did. You need to plan your life well. That's what Paul is telling us. We don't have time to go through this, but we'll do that next Saturday. But just briefly, Paul reviews his ministry with the Ephesians in verse 18 to verse 21. Paul lived a transparent life. This is what he tells the Ephesian elders. He tells them, you know how I lived among you from the day I stepped here. I lived a transparent life. Kenyans, young people, your life is not mixed up. Don't allow it to be mixed up with corruption, you know, with immoral living, you know, with drugs, with funny things. Do not allow your life to be clouded. Please live a straight life. Live a life that is accountable to someone. Are we together? Paul tells the believers, you know how I have lived. My life was transparent. Can you tell people, can you stand courageously and tell people, look at my life? You know, even to today, I'm trying to teach Akasha to my children. I don't know if they are getting it or not. But when I get out of the house in the morning, I tell Lois, who is my wife, I have gone to Valley Road. When I'm in Valley Road and, you know, I get an assignment to go to Parklands, I call her, thank God for the phones. And I tell her, I've left Valley Road, I've gone to Parklands because I'm accountable. I want my life to be known where I am at all times and what I am doing. Even money. My children know the ATM, you know the ATM number. It's called what? The PIN. If they get the card or my phone, they can remove the money. They don't have to ask me. They know. You know? What I mean is, they have it offered. When they were younger, and I would tell them, now, go and get money, this money for us. They did have to ask me the PIN number. They know it. You know, even today, the only good thing is in case they remove, of course, now the phone tells you that money has been removed from your account. But because of this, I can tell you, as far as money is concerned, they are transparent. You know, I can never start one day, think, will they steal from me? You know, will they swindle me? No. As far as money is concerned, they are truly transparent. And that is a culture that I wish they can grow with. Praise the Lord. Let's learn to be transparent. Let's learn to live a life that is open to others. Amen. Amen. Those who are married, please, there are no things to hide from your wife or your husband. Live a open life. Are we together? In any case, you have given them everything, isn't it? They know you. So what are you hiding? Please don't make this life difficult for no reason. Young people and older people, travel this journey light. Plan and purpose to travel this journey light. It already has a lot of issues. Don't bring unnecessary additions. Just travel light. Hallelujah. That is what Paul is saying. He says, one, I serve the Lord with great humility. How do people know you? How do people know you? You know, do they talk of that rough guard in the office? Rough. You know, there are people who are naturally rough. You know? They fight over everything. Like Kenyans. We fight. No. Great humility. I pray that as a pastor, that's how people will see me. I pray that is how my children will see me. I pray that God will make me a humble person. Amen? Please pray for the same as well. Don't be that guy who is always a troublemaker. A hard person. Where are you hard? Soften up. This world is not our home. Soften up. Soften up. He also says he served God with tears. This tells you of a genuine man who is, you know, who can be touched by the issues of life. Hallelujah. Be touched by other people's issues. Don't just be so hardened. We are living this life once. Just soften up. Soften up. Cry with people. Cry with people. Identify with people who are suffering. Hallelujah. And that's what we do as pastors. We don't condemn people. We identify with them. Sometimes we truly cry, not in the heart, physically with people. Because this is good. Then Paul says, he tells the elders, but as he describes his past ministry with them, he tells you also know. You know, that I was opposed by the Jews. He went through a lot of suffering with the Jews. You know, friends, Paul is telling us, don't expect to live a free suffering life, a life without any sufferings. That is only in heaven. Are we together? Suffering. He went through a lot of suffering and persecution. But Paul also says, and we head with this, we will pick it from there tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, next Sunday. Tomorrow I'm preaching in the main service. He says, they also know that he preached and taught them, both publicly and from house to house. What a preacher. What a commitment to the kingdom of God. He says, for his period, he stayed there. He was preaching in the public. He even rented a hall for 2 years. I wish I was as focused as Paul. Not only so, he said, from house to house. His focus was preaching the good news to ensure that as many people as possible in the whole region of Asia, where he was there, that they receive Jesus. They know the truth of God's word. And down there, of course, we'll read later, he says, I am innocent. Can you imagine that courageous man? He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men in this region. I have preached to them. I have told them the truth. And that's why I'm praying that for the time I've been valued, we will light some fire for people to be true witnesses of Jesus Christ wherever they are. That is the reason, number one, you're in that company. It is not to earn more money. God can give you money without work. I am telling you the truth. God can pour money to you. He doesn't need, you know, doesn't need a whole year to make you rich. But when you look at people like Collymore and, you know, and those others, you know, I'm trying to tell my children, money is not the issue. Money will come. You know, when I was young, when I left college, 1992, I got some work to supply maize and beans to the tribal classes people in the Rift Valley, you know, 1992 tribal classes. So Kenya Catholic Secretariat got some contracts, so I was asked by the company that works, I was working for, to go to Malaba to see and buy a lot of maize. You know, I bought a lot of maize and the beans myself. They said most of the days for the 3 months I was there, I was the leader of the team, and I would buy maize and the beans worth like 1 million. You know those days? And there's cash. I would go to the bank in Bungoma to withdraw 1 million shillings. Those days. Sawa? But my salary was 7,200. But I will never forget when we did the maize those sites and we finished the work, then I went to Loitoktok to buy some maize there. And we gave a lift in a lorry where we were carrying things to a man, an old man of kid 60-something. And we talked, we came talking, and he told me words which I think were a revelation, which I've never forgotten. And I've told my children this many times. So I discovered that I've gone to university, I have a degree, but I was not dressed like someone who has gone to school, you know? Because you have to get big jackets to put money, you know? So, and of course, I started telling him the sufferings of a young man, you know, trusting God for money, you are taking care of other people's money. By the way, God had already called me to go to full-time ministry, but you know the deception of wanting to have money. It was there even those days, you know? But this is what he asked me. Do you smoke? No. Do you drink? No. Many other questions. Told me, young man, you must get rich. Told me, why should you not get rich? That is the truth. Praise the Lord. You have to get rich if you are not wasting your money with all those things. Kwani taenda wapi? God's main intention is not money. Main intention is to use you to make a mark in the lives of other people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. When we die, no one will say how many cars we had, how many houses we built. But they will talk of the things that you did, the children that you helped, the people you prayed for in tears. Paul, publicly, house to house, he says, I have declared the gospel both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to everyone, not just to my tribesmen, but to everyone. Hallelujah. The message of faith, Paul is saying, is both for the Jews and for the Gentiles, that they may turn to God and repent of their former unbelief. This is the mission that is at our door, to ensure that as many as God allows to come into contact with us, that they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the prayer I'm praying, that even here in Valley Road, as I have said, not only will I motivate people to go and be witnesses of the Lord Jesus and bring the people to Valley Road, but I also want to be a witness. And this week, is it headed yet? This week, I have led 3 people to Christ. 3 in my office, you know, 3. And how exciting it is. And 2 of those in tears. You know, I saw an old man, not from this country, he just came Tuesday after prayer meeting. He trying to resist, you know, but you force. At last, the guy broke down in tears. He said the repentance prayer. Another lady came to my office with their daughter the day before yesterday. And again, you know, we went and went, and I could realize they came, there is a reason why they came here. And again, as we were heading, again in tears, received the Lord Jesus Christ. On Tuesday, yes, another man came from town. He said, I work in town, but I came here Monday. I couldn't get you, so I have come today. And I'm asking him, what do you want? I have come because I was looking for you to pray for me to get saved. This is the reason why we are here. It's not for anything else. That's why you are listening to this message. It's so that we can purpose to be instruments. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless all of us. May the fire of the Holy Spirit be our portion. May we also do this knowing that our time is what? Limited. And may the Lord help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, that is our cry to you today. We've learned about the life of Paul. What a man, what an apostle. We say today that the God of Paul is our God. We pray, O God, may the Holy Spirit be upon us as he was upon Paul. Lord, where we have not told our brothers, our sisters, our colleagues about you, forgive us. But now moving forward, give us the courage, O God. Give us the words, and may it come to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.